I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
97.5 KZNS FM Colville. AM Salt Lake City. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for, the sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Last night.
The food trucks have shown up
here. We're down here in at the Juab County Fairgrounds. You know what's funny? We were talking to Wade Garrett. He's one of the grand poobahs of the rodeo down here. And he said, well, look, it's Juab High School's homecoming. I went, oh, okay. Who do you play if you're Juab High School? Wade?
Canyon View.
Oh, they hate those guys.
Juab's pretty good. They got a good little program here.
Well, that's as condescending as you get. What a good little program we got.
Nice little program here.
That's what a bunch of BYU fans said to Utah State fans before the game started last night. You guys got a nice little program. I know you're kind of struggling right now. All right, we've got a lot going on here. We're going to kick off the show. As always, the show brought to you by G2G Bars, preservative-free, found in the refrigerated section of your grocers at Associated Foods. You can get them at Maverick. You can get them at Holiday Oil. And they are fantastic protein bars. They're not your protein bar that tastes like gunk. They've got that beautiful nut butter situation going on.
They're amazing.
Fantastic. Joining us on the program right now, as he tends to do from time to time, Dave McCann, BYU TV, also contributed to the Deseret News on the show here. Look, we just got off the horn, and we tried to help people understand, Dave, about positivity. And you're usually Mr. Positive about it. What do you get positive out of that game last night for BYU? Aside from that, you ended up escaping a rivalry game with a win. What did you see last night that you liked out of BYU?
Well, you know, every team that's 3-2 wishes they were 4-1 across the country. So to be 4-1, you know, some trips there were attractive and some not so much. But through your first five games, if you won four of them and you're in the top 20, that should be your general overall fan attitude of, hey, this is a fun football season. You know, that a lot of folks were disappointed by a lot of the things that you guys talked with Mitch about. But in the end, it's hard to win football games, and to win four or five of them, getting ready for Notre Dame on KSL TV, NBC around the world, around the country, this is big, and it's a good time, and it's a good time to get an extra couple of days to get ready for that game. And so I agree with there were things that were like, come on, in that game last night. But in the big picture, you want to be 4-1 going to Notre Dame, and they are.
So we talked briefly about the kicking situation with Jake Oldroyd, and I'm just curious to get your thoughts on how you feel about that.
You know, you can't miss five of your last six and keep your job. And that's a tough spot for Kalani because there's no guarantee that Justin Smith's better than Jake Oldroyd. And he said after the game they're going to have a competition through the week. That's what you have to do. Sometimes it pushes a guy to get better, and sometimes it pushes the guy behind him ahead, and the rest is history. I think we're seeing Chris Brooks running harder because he's being pushed for carries by Miles Davis. Maybe that'll help Oldroyd or catapult Smith, but it's so tough. When you go to Vegas, you can't be gambling on special teams. And unless they get it fixed in practice this week, that's exactly what they're doing. Two chances to kick field goals that were perfect snaps, perfect placement, and you just missed. And, you know, you just can't miss five of six and keep your job.
Dave, we're of course watching this game last night. I think a lot of anticipation of a Utah State team that was limping into this one, quite literally, with Logan Bonner being out. And so I think that's part of it, right? Fan expectation can kind of be unreasonable sometimes, but it's also fan expectation, which is, you know, just by its nature, it's going to be pretty high on a team that I think people expect a lot out of. Jaren Hall, Mr. Consistent and pretty exceptional. When you talk about what this guy has done so far in this year, 12 touchdowns and one pick, and that first pick came in the first game of the season. So your estimation of Jaren Hall and what he's doing right now on a level of what we've seen BYU quarterbacks do before, where does he compare right now? We're only five games in, but where does this season sit right now for Jaren?
You know, we asked Mark Wilson that question on game day before the game, and he said he compares Jaren to Zach Wilson. Similar height, similar success. Hall certainly faced tougher competition. But that's the comparison that Mark went with, which I thought was interesting and made a lot of sense. I think what impresses me the most about Hall, and Scott can chime in on this as the resident quarterback here, he's managed to do this without his two-star receivers ever on the field at the same time. And he's managed to find the hot hand in each one of these wins. It's been a different guy, whether it's Epps or Roberts, or even Puka in the first game, or Keanu Hill against Wyoming. He just has been able to distribute to a whole lot of guys and find the key playmakers who weren't the playmaker the week before. And I think that speaks volumes about Hall, that he's done all of this, and he doesn't throw it to the other team, and he's played some decent competition. Very good competition with Baylor and Oregon. Didn't turn it over at Oregon. And then he's distributed it to guys. And if Puka and Gunner are ever on the field at the same time, I think it'll be interesting to see where this offense goes from there. But, man, when you can find an underclassman and feed him the ball on his hot night and do it consistently to everyone that Roderick sends out there, I think that speaks volumes about the quarterback. What do you think, Scott?
No, it's a great point. It takes so much to trust a guy in a game situation. It's one thing when you're in practice and you're working without any pressure in the game without really great, you know, defense, and then you get in and you're going against really stiff competition, and you got to know that guy's going to be where he's supposed to be, and he's gonna make a play for you. And You see a lot of guys don't. You know, they drop the ball, they bat the ball up in the air, it ends up with a lot of interceptions, and it is a true Jaren to find that trust and to be able to get the ball to these guys and make them play, you know, and allow their talent to come out. I've always been a big believer that injuries just create depth. And when it's a little bit of a setback in the moment, but some of these guys that normally wouldn't be getting opportunities to play are kind of thrust into the spotlight, and they're getting valuable game minutes, and they're making big time plays, and now when everyone's back and healthy, as long as everybody can get along, it just creates more depth, and you become more dynamic as a team. And you know, I've seen that throughout my whole experience in football, that it just makes you a better team at the end of the day. to go back to Mark Wilson, because I'm not going to argue with him, right? Mark knows what he's talking about. I'll just add to his assessment of Jaren. Jaren is, I think, much more athletic than Zach, certainly a lot faster. And we haven't seen a lot of that, and I know they're trying to stay away from that as much as possible, but there's an athleticism to Jaren Hall that's the notch or two or maybe even three above a kid like Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I think Zach
I just want to know a little more.
Dave. Yeah.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like,
go ahead.
I just, like, you always have something interesting to come on the show yet, and we're just doing football analysis here. I want to hear your – you always have an interesting idea up your sleeve. I just want to know what it is.
Well, I'm just glad to know the wedding went okay last week and that you finally came back and working on a Friday night. It's the great weekend, one of the greatest weekends of the year with General Conference, and there's games tonight, and BYU's game's already over. This is just a good afternoon to be hanging out with you guys. I don't have any new revelations.
Well, No. Leave that up to the pros for the revelation part. Because
exactly.
One of the things that happens too with this, you know, the thing that really stands out when you brought that up about Notre Dame playing on KSL television, it's the one time that you get, and they've only played each other nine. This will be the ninth, I think, game between these two teams in the history, and who knows when Notre Dame will ever allow BYU to play them again. You know, heaven forbid that they live up the contract, but in the end, it's the one time that we get to have all the people who email us all the time and go, why isn't BYU on KSL anymore? I can go, it is this weekend, and so at least there's that side of things that you don't have to deal with now. But as you look at this game, though, with Notre Dame, I mean, they've certainly underperformed too. Their fan base is reeling and struggling with the idea that their team isn't a playoff contender. They lost two games, you know, right off the bat of the season. And we just watched a whole video about, you know, that Nick Saban did of, you know what, fans can be really, really tough because you lose two games at this level of college football and people write you off and go, you guys aren't anything. But that, he said, those two lost teams in particular are very, very dangerous because now they're coming after everybody because they don't necessarily have a lot to lose.
You know, and I don't know about underperforming in these college games. Maybe fans expecting more. A lot of us expected to see BYU play a cleaner game because that's what Kalani had talked about all week long coming out of the Wyoming game. And, you know, you get an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old there jumping off sides or a cagey veteran like Fautea jumping off sides. I think the performance is what's your record and what do you have in front of you that's still possible? If BYU had squeaked out victories to get to 4-1, I don't know, would the fans be – was thrilled to death that they're 4-1 and in the top 20 going to Notre Dame or how they got to it at this point. The Utah State game is not the most motivational game. They've been awful this whole season. UConn would have beat them if their quarterback hadn't gotten hurt in the first quarter. The numbers are awful for stopping the run and all those things. But they come down in this game, and Utah State played great last night. And Laga was – you know, an Orem Tiger, so you expect nothing less. But he he took a beating, and he just kept going. He ran the ball 19 times. And like, dude, you're going to get yourself killed. But that's what he did at Orem High. He ran for over 2,000 yards while he was throwing for 10,000 to Puka and those guys. But Utah State played their best game of the year, and BYU didn't. And we were talking about this on the postgame show last night. It's like, why do we feel like it's our problem that we feel unhappy. It's not the football team's problem. They're 4-1. And as Scott will attest, it's hard to win every week. That's why no one goes undefeated. Georgia fans were up in arms by the team they beat last week or the week before that they didn't kill. And it's like, It's what makes this game. No one knows what's going to happen with Utah and Oregon State tomorrow. It's what makes this game great. Is I'm not sure what's going to happen. Vegas says this team's going to beat this team by 24 points, and they probably could have had a penalty not been called late in the game, and those field goals been made, or a touchdown scored when BYU slammed on the brakes with 8 minutes to go with their offense. I don't know, but what is the magic is, I'm not sure what's going to happen. And I'll tell you, if BYU doesn't play defense against Notre Dame like they did against Baylor, Notre Dame's going to ram the ball down their throat. But BYU's capable of playing that kind of defense. Where they struggle is dealing with a spread offense, because their linebackers, two of them are off the field, and they got more DBs in, and their strength, as we saw against Baylor, was line it up and smash it at us. We hold you to 20 points, we can win that game. Notre Dame's more of a traditional, if they come out in the spread, then you know they watched the game last night, but they're more of a traditional, we're going to line it up and run it at you, and that's strength against strength, and then that's different than Utah State, certainly different against Oregon, where BYU could never adjust. So the game suits BYU better with the style. Styles make fights in Vegas, and Notre Dame and BYU are very similar, and Notre Dame likes to run the football, and can BYU stop the run? Well, they can't stop the run against the spread. But Notre Dame doesn't run the spread, and that's what I think makes this one intriguing, which goes back to the beginning of this rant. You just don't know what's going to happen, which is what makes it so great. But I don't know if that 22-year-old kicker has had a good night's sleep last night, and he's going to make that kick or catch that ball. But we all find out together on national TV.
Yeah, I don't know that the kicker slept in a month, it's a great point because you've got thank goodness, right? Thank goodness that we don't know the outcome. Thank goodness that unusual things show up, and we get all bent out of shape about it. But that's what makes it exciting. That's what keeps it interesting. Rivalry games do funny things, and people need to realize that, regardless of what it just does. And you have a short week that impacts things. They have a quarterback change at the last minute. You know, they're fired up. They're rallying behind a guy for half a game, for maybe a game. They can, you know, who knows, make something happen. And quite frankly, BYU could also be going, yeah, we're really looking to Notre Dame in a few days, and we're kind of possibly looking past this game, because 19-year-old kids think about a lot of things I don't think any of us want to know. And those minds kind of go all over the place. And so, you know, anything's possible. And that's exactly why we play the game. I'm really curious, though. Do you want to see this rivalry continue with Utah State?
You know, I love these rivalries because, you know, we've all spent our lives in these states, in this state. And it's fun to have guys playing against guys they played high school with and all that. But I don't see it continuing for a long, long time. I see this rivalry going the same way that Utah went with their rivalry with Utah State. Like, not ever again is Utah going to Logan. They're just not. Is there a chance BYU might? Possibly, because, one, there's a boatload of BYU fans up there. But I don't think so. I think if you're going to play 9 Big 12 games, you're not going to Logan. You can invite Utah State down here, but they don't want to do that either, because they want to have a home and home or whatever. Same thing we're seeing in basketball. So I think it's gone the way of the Utah State rivalry. And if it wasn't, they'd put those games on the books, because they're already scheduling games in 26, and you know they just finalized 23 and 24. We could, if Utah State was a priority, they'd be in there. But also, BYU's not going to control conference weekend like they've had. And this has been a great tradition Thursday or Friday before general conference. And with Big 12 owning the schedule, they just don't have that freedom to say, let's circle this date and play here every year. They want to keep the Utah game going every year as long as possible. The Utah State game is just they're just a victim of circumstance, and BYU doesn't have the freedom of independence. They're giving up their independence, and that's one of the costs, I think, is knowing that, hey, we're going to be free every Friday night before general conference, or Thursday for that matter, and we have a TV partner that'll put us on. Those days are over. So it was fun last night, but I think that appears to be it.
Dave McCann, you can hear him, of course, on BYU TV. Watch him on BYU TV and read his column. Every week you can get something from Dave McCann. If you're a BYU fan, it is a great follow to be able to get those articles every week. So, Dave, we appreciate it. Enjoy a weekend off, so to speak, and we appreciate you coming on the show as always, and thanks for hanging out, man.
Thanks, guys. I look forward to hearing both of your talks this weekend.
Yeah, well, Scott's will be more important, so we appreciate it. All right, we'll take the break right now.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.